Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing Miniatures Game podcast, brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 29. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, our producer extraordinaire, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
Good, thanks, Ed.
So once again, we're down to men. Chris, Chad is working his way progressively towards coming back to the show. He and I talked today. He is this close to coming back, but unfortunately he is not going to be able to join us tonight. And then unfortunately, right before recording, Sean said that he had a migraine and was going to bed, and I can't complain. I can't beat him. So, tonight's show, we're going to try to do a real quick. We obviously did our little challenge for the points change, and that's going to be the main topic for tonight. So let's just roll right into flight deck. Chris, I think you probably have a lot more to talk about than I do. Most of my stuff is non-X-Wing related, but I'll let you roll ahead and roll with it.
Not really. I think last time we spoke, had I played X-Wing, and then I think I was where I got crushed a lot of times.
Last time we spoke, I actually played more X-Wing than you did. I've actually played games this week.
In that case, I'm not sure I want to talk about those games then. I played a few games and I just was getting demolished. I was running the Anakin and Arc 170 stuff and it just wasn't working out. The arcs were dying far too quickly.
Was this post-point change or pre-point change?
Pre-points change for these games. Okay. So using old points, I think the list I was running was 4 points over in the new ones, but we'll get on to all of that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But yeah, I was just getting smacked around a little bit, so I ended up busting out with TIE Swarm to get a cheap win and make myself feel better about life, you know. I'm not now, terrible.
Is this the Chris Share special 6 TIE Swarm?
Well, it's the accepted TIE Swarm. I'm convinced that we were onto it relatively early because we talked about it like right at the start.
Like episode 1 or 2? Yeah.
But other people picked it up and have had success with it, whereas in we haven't. So it's the TIE Swarm. But it's the obvious choices, if we're honest. Iden, Gideon, Delmico, Hellrunner, Wampa, and an Academy pilot. And then you've got a couple of points for Swarm Tactics. So it works out. That got me a nice free win, so that felt good. Sorry, it let me show my skill off on the table.
You're going to have to show me how you fly that, because I mean, I know how to fly TIE Swarms, but for whatever reason, like at the inception of second edition, for whatever reason, like the way that the damage sticks in second edition, like TIE Flyers just die like flies. Like I can't seem to keep them on the board long enough to make them nearly as effective. So is it a question of Delmico doing all of the, you know,
you just don't do anything.
You just don't do anything.
Yeah, you have to be happy to go to final salvo. And then at some point your opponent isn't going to be happy to go to final salvo and turns into you and then dies.
So. Fair. Oh, I see. It's one of those lists.
I'll 2 forwards.
I'm teasing.
No, you've got the, what did Paul used to call it, the gutter at the side of a table.
Yep.
So I'll deploy there. I'll do a 2 forwards. Then I'll do a 2 forwards. If you haven't committed yet, I'll K turn. And I'll do a 2 forwards. And then I'll K turn. And at some point, you'll get bored before I do. And then it's game on. I turn my ties into you, shoot you, you die. And fun.
Yep, that works.
Yep, never commit with a swarm and you'll be fine. And then I did play a game under the new points with my Poe and 3 A-Wing list. So I've been waiting for a resistant transport to come out because we've not seen it in Canada yet. So I had to...
Really? It hasn't... Are you guys behind?
We don't have... we don't have Barnes & Noble here. And it's not in normal stores yet, so...
So it's still not technically official, even as we're talking about this.
No, but points change is on the 10th, so this will come out on the 9th. So the point change is the 10th, and I believe they should be on the street on the 11th, because they changed the shipping now in the middle of last week. So I'm thinking they will be available on the 11th, which would. But yeah, so the list I had to run was Paul with... like Black One, R2 Astromech, S-Foils, and Heroic. Then Lulo just had Heroic. I had to drop Crackshot off him. Tally had Crackshot. I dropped Pattern Analyzer. And then Zari had Crackshot, and I dropped Pattern Analyzer again.
So, yeah, those are like extra added bonuses, kind of cool, but not pivotal to the list. I can kind of see that.
They felt like they would have been pivotal. I got my first loss with that list of that archetype anyway. I'd won every game I'd played with it before the other night, or two nights ago now. And I was flying against two Kuraxes, a Star Viper, and an Escape Craft.
Ooh.
And I just, it was Graxa Hunter. The other Initiative 4 named Kurax, who I can't even remember now, and it wasn't even Guri, it was the Star Viper who rotates 90 degrees after a move. So it's like loads of funky fun stuff, but the Kurax had a hull upgrade and a shield upgrade, so a decent chunk of health, but I shot at it for like 7 turns and just didn't kill it. He bit onto Paul, so Paul did his usual like black one, the turn he needs to get out, regen some shields, come back into a fight. The A-Wings were all chipping away, but I just couldn't roll more than one hit. So I really felt the loss of those pattern analyzers. Me and my opponent were laughing about it. It was about 3 or 4 turns where I ended with focuses just on ships, because I just didn't roll any focus results at all to spend. When I was taking target locks, I was rolling, I think, twice. I rolled blank, blank focus into blank, blank focus with a target lock. So it was one of those games. I killed L3 pretty quickly. I put consistent damage onto the beefy Kurax, but because it didn't go down, he kept getting some shots, because it's then 3 arcs to try and dodge rather than 2. And it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty frustrating, because I felt like I wasn't taking too many risks. I felt like I was playing relatively safe, making sure I'll take one shot with one of my ships, because I need to do something somewhere so I can focus fire. And I was getting multiple shots on the target I was shooting, but I just couldn't get the damage through. I'd evade one hit every time, but he'd roll 2. And then he'd evade 2, but I'd roll 1. It was pretty rough.
It's especially whenever you feel like you're flying well, like you're not making any mistakes. And I jokingly always say, I hate to blame dice, because there should be other ways to mitigate all of that if you're playing well enough. But sometimes you'd like to be rewarded for flying well and say, yep, I got you in 3 arcs and I hit you 8 times.
Well, to give Will his credit, I put faith into the dice and they weren't there, but I flew the list as if I had pattern analyzers and I didn't.
Mm.
So maybe I'm comparing my offense output to that list. And it's not the same list without the pattern analyzers, so maybe I should have adjusted how I was flying it. I'm not overly worried. Like I said, it was not the list I want it to be, because I want to put the resistance transport in it to get a couple more hit points in the list, get a nice easy coordinate in there, and I think that'll hang a little bit better anyway. I just need to decide which A-Wing I'm going to drop, and as much as I'm enjoying Lulo, I'm tempted.
Oh, no. I was afraid you were going to say that.
That means FFG did the right thing with the points for Lulo going up to 44, I think he is now. But because originally I was like, whatever he went up to, I was like, I'm going to keep Lulo and probably Tally and drop Zari. But I really enjoy flying Zari, because like 3 or 4 times in this game, I managed to just get... He was moving first after I killed... she was moving first after I killed L3. So I just swam into the ships that I was going to be shooting at, and then get my focus and a boost around, or barrel roll and a boost, or my focus rotate my arc and stuff. And getting my double actions even after bumping with Zeri is really good fun. But the Initiative 3 is pretty tricky, that you don't always get that, and... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. 43 points was what Lulu got bumped up to for the record. Yeah.
So 44 with heroic, but
That's kind of stapled on. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm again heroic, just frustrated me as well, because it with Lulo, I was not stressing myself because I took 2 damage really early. So I wanted him to like tank up a bit of damage whenever he was the one I was presenting to get shot. And I'd roll, I had Tally's ability. So he was rolling 5 dice for some reason. It was at range 3 or obstruct or something. It was a 5 dice. I had a focus token. I rolled 4 blanks and a focus. are you fucking kidding me?
The number 5 of times blanks, I used so to I can do that with Suntir Fell with a stealth device through a rock. The number of times that I still got hit was absurd. But that was back in 1.0 days.
But it's fine, right? If I roll 5 blanks, I can heroic it and get a reroll. But no, there's a focus. And it's not like it was an evade to actually evade something. It was like, if you want to evade it, you've got to spend that focus. Screw you, game. Screw you. but no, it was good. I'm not salty, Will. It's okay.
No, not at all.
We'll play again, and I'll get my revenge after I have my resistance transport. It does actually listen to the show most of the time. So
in a week, and well, actually a few days at the time we're recording this, because of course I had to screw everything up. Well, technically, the 4th of July kind of screwed everything kind of over for our recording schedule, so we are a little bit closer to that date.
Yeah, well, I think I sent out a message on like last Sunday or Monday, like, it's the 4th of July, is that going to screw us up? And it was like, yeah, probably. We'll go for Wednesday instead. Then we couldn't do Wednesday, so we'll do Saturday. Then we couldn't do Saturday. So we're doing Sunday. We'll get there. It's okay.
Yeah, everything kind of fell apart. I apologize for all of that. I take all the blame for that.
Oh, it's fine. Like I said, we're going to actually keep a run going that we haven't actually missed an episode yet.
Yeah, that's the goal.
We obviously had that hyperspace episode where we had that content recorded and it was going to be an in-focus one, but then we couldn't record, but we had content, so we put it out.
It's something we should, it's probably off show conversation, but we might want to consider just recording a couple of games with a post-point change, and in the event that something like this happens again, just have that queued up and boom, just kind of release it.
Yeah, having some backup content's always good.
But yeah, not a bad idea. Yeah. So anything else in your flight deck?
I've had it for a while, but I played Dinosaur Island. Ooh. It's really good.
And you were supposed to tell me what the Transformer TCG was like too.
Oh, so I opened my starter packs and then I didn't have to play in the events. They already had even numbers, so I didn't play a full tournament. But Transformers was pretty interesting, actually. It works. You have your Transformers. So we did it as a 2-pack quick draft. A 2-pack sealed. So you open your 2-packs, you get 1 large card, which is a transformer, and you get 1 small transformer, and then like 9 battle cards, which is your deck. You get that twice, so 18 cards in your deck, and then you've got 4 transformers to pick 2 of effectively.
And interesting. How do the booster packs come? Like, are they like, are the booster packs big because they come with those transformers in them?
Yeah. So it's a big, it's like a tarot size card, but a little bit wider. But it's all like in cardboard, so the card can't get damaged, which I thought was pretty nice because I was worried about that as well.
Was my question too. That and then sleeving them. How do you protect them?
A company makes specific sleeves for that size of card.
Really?
Yeah. So the transformers are all double-sided. They have the normal, like the default side, and the disguise side. So you all start off in disguise. So I was running Ratchet and I can't remember. It was some small one from I don't even know.
Anyway, I assume that game split into 2, like Autobots and Decepticons too.
Yeah, for the draft, for the sealed thing, you can just play anything. You can play Autobots and Decepticons on the same side because you've only got 2 packs, so you might have to. If you only get Autobot big cards and Decepticon small cards, you have to mix. So,
gotcha.
You start off in your disguise side, and then you alternate. So I'll have a turn. I pick a transformer which I can transform, then I can attack one of yours and you tap it, and it's a Wizard's game, so it's actually called tapping, which makes it simpler. All of the other games where you've got to like kneel or exhaust or do these other things, you can just say tap now. It's not like infringement on Wizards.
On an IP, it is what it is.
Stupid people. So generally, you have to, if you have a Transformer that's tapped and one that isn't, you have to target the tapped one. So you do your attack and then you draw two cards, flip them over, and they'll have like code symbols on it. Orange is offense, blue is defense. White lets you draw extra cards. Blue does something else weird. So you're flipping cards over from your deck. So you're trying to build, if you think of it in magic terms, this would be the mana. So like the color of a card dictates what it does. But you get like the multicolored ones as well. So you'll flip it over. If you get two orange ones on offense, it adds two to your attack value. And then you'll flip two cards and add whatever you flip to your defense value. And then you take the difference in damage or none. Then you...
Ultimately, is the point to the game to kill your opponent's
Transformers? Yeah, you're just trying to... Yeah, so you're going face is hitting Transformers.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't hit... There's no Summoner or Planeswalker to hit.
So there's no player, like, I'm not hitting you if you don't have a Transformer available. I need to kill your Okay, I see.
Yeah, the Transformers, you build a team of points first. I think it's 25 points worth of Transformers in a standard game. Like, if you're playing Devastator, for example, you get the five Constructicons, and then you can transform them into Devastator, smash things. And Metroplex is 25 points, but he's 25 on his own. But he comes with three other Transformers hidden inside him. So every time he flips, one of the little ones comes out.
That's cool.
Pretty cool. It's basically a race to deal the most damage to your opponents. But the two sides of the Transformer obviously have different stats. So one side might be more offensive to defensive. And he might have like abilities like Ratchet when he's in his Autobot side had a healing ability. And then the ambulance side had a different ability, and just stuff like that. It was pretty interesting, actually. I was surprised how clean and easy it was doing the damage and stuff. And then you have a hand of cards as well, which you draw from your deck, because the cards have got the colors in the top right, but then they've got abilities that you can play. So you can like upgrade weapons, give them armor, and different abilities like that. So relatively interesting, worth a shout.
Cool game. How much are the boosters, just out of curiosity?
Probably like $3 US, I imagine. $3.50 maybe, because it was five something Canadian. So the starter pack seemed pretty cheap. I picked up the original one from Wave 1 and then the Wave 2 starter pack as well, because they keep them in print, or they're all still currently in print.
Oh, interesting.
You get different stuff in those. So one of them's like an Autobot team, which gets you like 25 points worth of Autobots. The other one is half a team each, but it's Decepticons and Autobots. And then you've got a Devastator starter pack, which gives you all five Constructicons. And then the other starter set is Metroplex, which gives you a massive Metroplex card.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I don't know how you sleeve that. You're probably laminating it.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like you're shuffling those things either, though. So, like, no, I mean, you don't really
not in play, so you're not shuffling them. They're just in the play area. But yeah, it was pretty good. I almost bought a booster box, but I thought I'd wait, because Kyle, who I've been playing with, said I can basically have a route through his duplicates and extras and stuff. So it's not really a secondary market in Calgary for it anyway, so he'll sort me out and I can start playing properly. So we'll see.
That is one of the tricks to trying to get yourself into a new game, is having people to play with. I can't tell you the number of dead CCGs and games that I have sitting on the shelf directly to my right that I simply had nobody to play with. Sounded like a cool idea, got some stuff, and then, oh, nobody's interested in playing. Okay, well, then that doesn't do me any good. I've just spent money on stuff I can't do, so...
Yeah. I'm not overly worried. Like I said, I can always find someone. I picked up a copy of Warhammer Disc Wars, and I've got two people I'll be able to play that with. But I'll just play it with those two people. It's not, I don't have to put a lot of money into it, because it, I said to Greg in the store, I will pay you like $3 over cost for this thing that's sat on a shelf that you will not sell if you don't sell it to me now. It's like, sold.
Done. At least it's out of the store now.
Yeah. Just stuff like that. I don't mind having niche games that I'll only ever play with specific people.
And only break out like every once in a while kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just something fun.
Anything else you want to cover on yours?
No, I'm excited to hear about yours.
I did. This is not going to surprise anyone. Due to 4th of July weekend and some scheduling conflicts, I was unable to get a game in. I did have a game scheduled, but unfortunately it had to be canceled. And then this week with 4th of July, me taking a couple of days off during the course of that, if you're on the YouTube, I haven't shaved in like 6 days. It's amazing. I'm going to have to fix that tomorrow morning. So I didn't get a chance to get a ton of gaming. So the only thing I was able to do over the course of this weekend or the last 2 weeks was, again, this is going to be Magic related, but Core 2020 pre-release was this weekend. Now, I don't do the Friday night ones. There's nothing appealing to me at all about starting gaming at midnight and running until 5 a.m. If I were a single guy with no kids and no responsibilities, maybe I could see that. But having to get up, deal with kids, obviously my wife wants to do some running around. It's a holiday weekend. No, not happening. So the upside is they do a pre-release the following that Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's perfect. So on a whim, I woke up this morning and I looked at my son and, hey, Gabe, any interest in going to the Core 2020 pre-release? Assuming that he would say no and I'd be going by myself. And he's like, no, that sounds like fun. Let's go do that. I'm like, okay, so let's go ahead and go. So we walk into the door. Tell them what we're here for, the pre-release kits. Yep, here are your kits. You know, there's $20 here and $20 here for $40. How many people do you need for this to fire? That's the first thing I ask. Well, if we get about 6 people, we can probably fire off the event. And I said, okay, now I'm not knowing ahead of time, and we're getting to that what I was just told was inaccurate. Didn't know. So Gabe and I take our pre-release kits. We go home and we go to our table. We open them up. We build our decks. We sleeve everything. We're ready to go for the pre-release event. And people kind of start shuffling in little by little. And by the time we get about the sixth person, I'm like, all right, this is going to fire. We're going to get a chance to play. Because, I mean, I don't know if you have, I don't know what things are like at your store, but if you don't have enough people, events just don't fire off. They don't have enough people to fire it. And I start hearing cross chatter at the table and saying, oh, you know, when does the draft start? When does the draft start? And I'm like, draft? Question mark. What draft? I thought we were doing a pre-release. And one of the guys tells me, he goes, no, you need like 10 or 12 people for a pre-release to fire off. We're not going to get that. I think they're just going to do a draft today. And I went, well, shit.
Yeah, I've already opened all my cards. And
well, not only that I already opened it, but I spent $40, opened it up, and to get into a draft is $12 as opposed to $20. I spent almost twice as much to buy stuff to play an event that I can't participate in. And now if they do a draft, Gabe and I have to drop because all of my hobby money for the week is now gone. Can't do it. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. And I hate to like disappoint the guys who are there, but like we're just going to kind of pack up our stuff and kind of go. And as we're walking out the door, Steve, the guy running the store, goes, oh, where are you guys going? I thought you guys were sticking around for the event. I says, well, yeah, we were, but I understand that it's going to be a draft today. He's like, yeah, no, that's right. I'm like, so let me ask you something. So whenever I came in and said that we wanted to be here for the pre-release event, you literally put down 2 pre-release kits and say, here's what you're going to need. You didn't mention, and when I asked how many people do you need for this to fire off, you said 6. He goes, I'm like, did I hear that wrong? Did something go wrong? And he kind of smiled at me. He goes, no, you did not hear that wrong. I inaccurately gave you incorrect information, and I should have told you draft, not pre-release. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I said, well, that's kind of, he's like, do you still want to stick around for the pre-release for the draft? And I said, well, I'd love to, but all of my hobby money kind of went out for this one and was kind of anticipating playing in this. And he goes, just stick around. And I look at Gabe. Gabe looks at me and he's like, well, okay. So we stuck around. So we kind of just plop down and we're packing all our stuff up and we're kind of putzing around. And the next thing I know, he's coming around. All right, Ed, you're sitting here. Gabe, you're sitting over here. And he sits us all down at the draft table and puts packs in front of us. And I kind of give them that look and he just kind of smiles at me. And I'm like, you're taken care of.
Yeah.
So this is a story of how a gaming store does something right. Yeah. Recognize that he made a mistake. Recognize that we bought a product that we weren't going to be using for that. And said, I'm going to fix that. Gabe and I both drafted for free.
Yeah.
And I ended up winning the draft.
Yeah.
So not only did I end up winning, paying for the two pre-release kits, which is cool, but we didn't get a chance to use. We got, Gabe and I both drafted 6 booster packs. I ended up winning an additional 10 on top of that. So I ended up making out really well in the end for what I ended up paying for. So a word to the wise, if you own a gaming store, something like that happens, that was the right way to handle that situation. Because in my mind, as I was walking past the counter to walk out the door, I'm like, I'm not showing up to an event like this again. I got told, I got screwed, basically, is what ended up happening. But Steve took care of us, and then it all ended up right with the world. And my son on the drive back, he says, well, what if you hadn't won? Would you still feel the same way? And I was like, yes. Yes, I would still feel the same way. Because ultimately, in the end, he still took care of us so we could still play without paying for it.
Yeah. Well, our store is slightly different in that we'd have run the midnight pre-release, then a morning pre-release, an afternoon pre-release, a morning pre-release, and an afternoon pre-release. And all of those would be full and would have had drafts going on at the same time.
And, holy cow.
That's just in the card side. Obviously, we'd have been running our own events in the gaming side. So, because they can host about 120 people before they have to encroach on our space. And that holy would have been cow. Full for at least the first three.
How many do you guys like sell out on those events all the time?
Oh, I don't work there anymore. It's a separate business, so they have the card store and they do Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and then like Funko Pops and stuff like that. And then we do board games, miniatures, and role playing games.
In the same building though, right?
You cannot get into if you go it's the same building. In the same way, like the buildings in a strip mall are the same building.
Oh,
so, I see what you're saying. So it's a building. It's like an old warehouse, but there is a door that customers do not have access to. So I've got a key to get into the back room from our playing area if I don't want to go outside. But like a customer can't walk from our side to their side. They have to go out of our door and around to the other one.
So one of my favorite gaming stores whenever I was growing up a kid was Phantom of the Attic, and they literally had two stores. Phantom of the Attic Comics, which was in Oakland, two blocks away from Phantom of the Attic, the gaming store. So if you were interested in comics, you went to that store. If you were interested in the gaming side of it, you went to that store. They were the same business, same owner, same everything, but two separate locations. So I totally, totally get that. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's good. It's always busy weekends, so pre-releases. It varies slightly on how good the sales. Obviously, people know all the cards nowadays before they hit the shelf anyway. But generally, they're sold out. Like the midnight pre-releases, you could probably turn up to. The Saturday morning one pretty much sells out 100% of the time. Saturday afternoon one, you might be okay. And then it tails off after that, but we wouldn't have problem firing the actual pre-release, shall we say.
Yeah, so that's so there are two stores locally here. I almost debated going to the other one that's actually closer to me. There's a lot of history behind why I don't go to the closest gaming store to me. I'll save that for off-camera conversation. But point being, the day that was supposed to fire off, they said that the way that a pre-release is supposed to work is if you get a win, you get a pack. If you get a win, you get a pack. If you get a win, you get a pack. That's how it's supposed to work. They announced on their Facebook page, yeah, no, it's going to be a Swiss, and whoever wins Swiss wins the full booster box. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to win that. I mean, there's still a lot of good. So I elected not to go to that store. I wanted to go for the other one. Like, if I could squeeze out a win or two, maybe I can get an extra pack or two. I had no idea where I was going to go with. So that's kind of the situation that I ended up into. So long story short, that was my entire gaming for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. I know when I used to do Magic drafts, we used to do the winner of a draft didn't win packs. You'd pay for the packs, but then you'd snake draft the legendaries.
Ooh.
So you'd collect all the legendaries after a draft, put them in on the table. Whoever won got first pick, and then you keep going around until they were all gone.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting way to do it. I like that.
Yeah, it's interesting I don't know how popular it is. Again, it's better between friends type things. You can buy a box and draft a box between you, and then you're still playing for something because it's who gets what legendaries and rares and stuff. Because like you'll get the people who just take the money card regardless of what it is, and then I used to just pick something cool that I wanted for a deck.
Yep. It's funny too, because the guy that my Gabe was drafting right beside, he goes, you know, I hate drafting an uncommon over a rare that I know is worth money because I need it for my deck, and that's what he did. And Gabe went, yoink.
Yeah.
It's like, I will take that one, thank you.
I will take the money. You're okay.
I'm good. If I don't win a single game, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah. That was his strategy. Mine, I just go, I have the same strategy I always go with. I pick a mono color and I just stick with it, and it did me well today. So that's how it worked out. All right. So much for all of the non-X-Wing related conversation. We're going to go ahead and move on.
Oh, what do you mean 30 minutes in and we've like not really discussed any X-Wing? It's fine.
That's not true. We had your flight deck.
It's me losing, so it doesn't count. I don't enjoy that talk.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that conversation. All right. So main topic.
Yeah.
Points changes have happened. Of course, we're a little late in the game for this one to kind of discuss this one. Do we want to cover the contest first, or do we want to kind of like go over some of our holy cow that actually happened? Kind of.
I think we'll keep our predictions as the main part of a main topic. So maybe hit the bullet points of what you were like surprised by. I was thinking.
Or sure. Like
disappointed by anything you felt went too far, you know, that kind of thing. Like hot takes from it, but what we wanted to avoid, because like I said, we've been out for nearly 2 weeks now, so I don't want to like
worry
too much about hitting them all.
Yeah, we're not telling anyone anything they don't already know. Something I sort of anticipated was going to happen, and they most certainly did do, is they took a big old hammer to the old Rebel Beef list. So things like Braylon Strom got bumped up and Wedge got bumped up. Imagine that. I mean, you could still do the list. You're losing a lot of upgrades and you're running basically a lot of naked ships, but that kind of went down.
Yeah, so surprisingly, one of the games I lost was to Rebel Beef, and it was a 119-point list. So that felt good, you know,
playing 119.
Sorry, 219.
Points. Oh, 219. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
So like, playing with the old points, but when you know the new ones, and I was just sitting there going.
Well, it's interesting that Wedge was the only one to go up. Cassian Andor was the only U-Wing to go up. I mean, you kind of see that one coming. And of course, I don't want to spoil it, but you were definitely on with a couple of crew choices that may have gone up in points to an exact number. Empire side. I was surprised one of the A-Wings or the Alpha Class Starwings went up. Major Vindir,
yeah. Yeah. He's been seeing some success in extended events as it's called Hatchet Man, the squad. It was like Vader, Vindir, and something else that I can't remember.
Hmm.
But like you just give him it, you used to take protons and advanced protons, so there's nowhere you could go. And then because he can do stuff like when he slams and things, and it'd just wreck you, and you'd have to deal with him, which let Vader do stuff, and it was one of those hard choices style lists, which was doing relatively well. So,
well, they took a hammer to that because they also bumped up Vader. I didn't see that one coming. That one's a surprise for me, to be honest with you.
Vader didn't go up that much, did he?
He only went up 2 points.
Yeah,
but. At 65 points for a small base ship, I really felt like he was points costed pretty well. Obviously, they disagreed, but it doesn't change my opinion of the ship. I mean, because obviously anything that went well in that list with Vader plus Vindir or Vader plus Sunterfell, those ships went up in cost. Just those ships, not the chassis, just those pilots went up in cost.
Well, that's why I wanted to try and say, like, start picking specific pilots, because I had a lot of problems when we did the first points change points predictions, trying to like figure out, well, only this one went up. One of them went down, one of them went up, and then some of them stayed the same. So I need to start doing differentials divided by the number of chassis. We'll just pick one card.
One card. Other things real quick. Obviously, the TIE Advanced chassis, all of it went down across the board. Interesting. We're not seeing a ton of that. One of the ones, this was a low fruit hanging that I totally missed. The TIE Aggressor, everything across the board. The low end ones at 28 points now. That's a good call. Never really see those.
So I think the point with the Aggressor was that it was just playing worse than a TIE Bomber.
Yes.
The only reason to take it was, like, none of the turrets are good because there's only the two turrets. Only one of them was hyperspace, but I suppose that's irrelevant because the Aggressor was in hyperspace. But it's there to carry barrage rockets, and the Bomber did that better. So it's now cheaper to take a barrage Aggressor than it is to take a barrage Bomber. So it's now an actual choice.
Everything of the Phantoms went up from the Indoor all the way up to Whisper. Kind of saw that one coming. The one I didn't see coming was the Decimator not only coming down in points, but getting an additional crew point.
Yeah.
So not only did it come down in cost, but it also got an additional slot for crew, which I was not anticipating.
So the interesting one that I've seen for the Decimator is that you can now do, I'm just going to build it to make sure I'm not lying to you. But you can now do Palpatine, then you can have Seventh Sister, and then you can have, if you wanted to keep the points down, you could go with like Fifth Brother, which gives you 3 Force points. And you
That's
know how,
gross.
Yeah, but Palpatine isn't limited to only spending 1 Force point a turn. Palpatine's not once per turn.
Oh my god, that's gross.
It's not really. So the cheapest way of doing it is on a patrol leader with Palpatine, Seventh Sister, and Fifth Brother, and it's still 97 points.
Yeah,
and you only regen 1 force a turn. So you get 1 turn of going, Palpatine's going to do this one, and this roll, and this roll. Oh, then I'm done.
Yeah, but that's going to be the turn that everything comes into play, and you're blowing stuff off the board, so it'll work out that way. Go ahead.
Just to clarify on that one, remember it would still be once per opportunity. So if you roll triple focus on Fel, Palpatine can only spend 1 to do 1.
Correct.
Worth mentioning.
Scum and Villainy, almost down across the board on all the changes. There were a couple specific pilots that went up, but a whole bunch that went down in chassis. So I don't know, just kind of. The IG-88, the Aggressor went down. What was the other one I saw? Everything from the Fire Sprays went down. The Hawks went down with the exception of Pale Hub. Jumpmasters, down. Kirax, down. Lancers, down. Kimagillas, down. It just runs down and down the list. You have a couple of things like Guri went up, okay. And then Locke went up, okay. But even like the YV666 down across the board, like there's only like 3 red icons in the entire list, and then everything else it's a change is in blue. So maybe they're trying to say that Scum isn't getting the love that they deserve.
The ones that affect me, so like Ventress coming down to 74 is almost tempting. You can field 3 Shadowport Hunters. So, once you start getting into that level of, you know, what was it, below the 66 point mark, or 66 or below, you get the triple option. Still don't think Jump Masters are cheap enough to be worth considering. You can take 4 contracted scouts.
But it's funny to me how that list dominated first edition, whenever it first came out, and they're so wary about what that ship can do that they're still overcosting it for it.
Where else? Anything? A lot of the Scum large base changed, but nothing huge.
I think large base across the board changed pretty much.
Yeah, not a bad shout. The one that I was relatively interested by was the Separatist changes.
Ooh, nice segue. Let's go right into those. Look at that.
So they kind of did, I can't remember if we spoke about this or not, but the Vultures came down a little bit and they added the points onto the energy shells.
Which is the right way to do it. We talked about that almost ad nauseum. Like, that's the right way to fix something.
Yeah, because I think we spoke about it more in regards to dedicated when we were talking about torrents. But, like, if dedicated was the problem, put the points onto dedicated. If you don't want people spamming the vultures with energy shells, put the points onto energy shells. So,
they went up to 5. That was pretty...
That was my list that I was playing. So the one that you played against, I think, where I ran that list against you, that came down 11 points.
That's interesting. That is really interesting.
It lets me upgrade some of the vultures into hyenas.
It does.
So that's pretty cool. I'm happy with that. That is pretty cool.
Darth Maul and Count Dooku both went up on the Sith Infiltrator on those. Kind of saw that one coming because that was like, I've seen people do well with running those two, which I thought could happen. But I still think you've got the points to run both. I mean, that still puts you at 130 points, gives you 70 points of upgrades.
With the changes to things like hate and proton torpedoes, basically, they want you to still be able to run the two of them, but just you have to make some choices. You can't put everything on all of them. So I'm not overly concerned. Like, some people have been saying that kills the infiltrator. I don't think it does. I think it kills that version of the list, but I feel like the ship's still pretty good.
Yeah, I think the ship's still pretty good. Yeah. It just, again, like you said, now you have different choices you have to make to be a little bit more economic with your upgrades. Galactic Republic.
Yeah. My boy Anakin went up.
Your boy Anakin. Oh boy, did he get a bump. How many points did he go up by?
I'll have to check. Where's my other squad builder? I feel so. It actually got cheaper if you take calibrated instead of at 7B. But
well, what they did for 7B though.
Oh yeah, like 20 points on Anakin. It's a decent whack of points for 7B. I can't. I'm so bad at using the internet when I'm trying to talk. Okay, I'm there now. So Anakin is currently. That's an arc. That's the wrong ship. Come on, Chris. So 60 points. He only went up 2 points. 7B went up but it turned to initiative-based points cost.
Correct.
It's 18. Yeah. So, yeah, I knew that because my list is 4 points over. So, Anakin with 7B. And the one that really killed my version of the list was the R2 Astromech got pointed based on your agility.
Yep.
Anakin's counts as agility 3, even if you put the 7B on him. So that went up as well.
Oh, really?
You take the printed value on the ship card, no matter what modifies it.
Ew, I did not know that.
So
I thought you could skirt past that, but I guess you can't. Okay.
No. That's how the variable points work. It takes the printed cost, a printed value on the card, and costs it from that. No modifiers don't apply until you deploy on the table, effectively.
Okay. Interesting. All right, that makes sense. I think we've seen weird situations like that before in X-Wing 2. Now that you've said that out loud. But every other Aether Sprite, though, went down in points,
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka's the, I was just going to say, with the exception, she's
Ahsoka
the only one.
And Obi-Wan are the same points.
Uh-huh.
Ahsoka and Plo Koon. Plo and Ahsoka have the same number of Force points, but Plo's initiative 5.
Yep.
Now, Ahsoka's ability is good, but I don't know that it's 3 points more expensive than Plo Koon. Good.
Yep.
I'm going to find out because I'm going to be running Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka now.
Ooh.
After these changes.
Ooh, that sounds like an interesting list.
I'm going to go with Anakin with calibrated, Obi-Wan with 7B, and Ahsoka with 7B, and then see if I can make that work.
That's definitely, you need to fly your ass off with that list.
Yep, I'm looking forward to putting it on the table, seeing what I can do. Especially, Anakin becomes relatively cheap in that list, so.
V19s went down across the board as well. Interesting. The ARX-170s went down for the most part. Sinker and the generic didn't change, but everything else went down. So interesting. Yeah,
Yeah,
the Delta, I was surprised by that.
I'm a little bit sad that the Torrent, I'd have liked to have seen more come off the Blue Squadron Protector, and also from the seventh Squad 7 veteran, because I still think jumping 4 points for the initiative and EPT for the Ark and 3 points for the Torrent is still a little bit much. But they did give you something. So a dedicated went down as well, I suppose. So
Yeah.
yeah, dedicated is only 1 point now. I think it was three last time. I'm gonna check.
I think you're correct.
I think it was 3 points for it. Dedicated, yeah, it was 3 points. So maybe my if dedicated was the reason, so I have to play test it now and find out. But yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. I really want Galactic Republic to be my go-to faction because it's so cool. But
It is cool. You got Jedi all over the
yeah,
place.
it's cool. But I'm struggling with my list building with it, so we'll see.
All right, moving on to the Resistance. They saw, with the most part, like the Star Fortress went down across the board. Your A-wings, we kind of semi-hit on this one, kind of went up almost across the board. Even the generics, Zari and Greer are the only two that remained untouched. The YT-1300s went down across the board. I think that's a large base ship thing. I think they've autocorrected large base ships now twice.
Yeah.
I'd love to look at a comparison between when they came out originally and opposed to where they are now. T-70s went down for the most part, except for the big ones. Poe, Ello, Nien, those are all still the same points, but some of those initiative ones like Jess, those are kind of, and obviously all the generics kind of dropped 45 points on the low end for the Blue Squadron rookie though. That's pretty good for a T-70.
Only 3 points more than a null a T-65 now.
And then we do have points for the transport and the transport pod itself. BB-8 coming in at the low end of that one. I want to know where the storyline comes in. Am I the only one that saw that when I realized that BB-8 was a pilot for the Rebel transport pod and went, when did that happen? Did I miss a story that I read somewhere that he piloted one of those? Like I could see Chopper being a pilot of the what am I thinking? I'm drawing a blank. It's the big ship.
Yeah,
It's the
the YVs, the Ghost,
Yeah, the ghost. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
the VX100, VCX100.
Thank you. I remember an episode of Rebels where he was the pilot, but I don't ever remember BB-8 being a pilot of anything.
I think it's fine. I don't worry about it. You just hate everything to do with The Last Jedi, which is where we receive a Resistance transport pod. So,
Maybe.
I.
Maybe. I'm not even going to touch Rose at all.
She's really pretty good.
She is pretty good. I'm
Pretty
not gonna lie.
good.
Pretty good. And she's the same price as BB-8, just for the record. All right. And lastly, First Order. Interesting. The FO's down almost all entirely across the board.
First Order, I think, got massive. I saw some garbage posted on the so it's not the Minox Squadron anymore. They changed the name to Fly Better so they don't infringe on IP. But they there
Yeah,
was
but I
some
don't know.
utter
Okay, we'll get into that
it
argument
was
later.
random listener people, not the Minot like hosts. It wasn't Ryan or D typing the site. But there was some proper garbage on the like Kylo stayed the same and the ups ones all went up, so the faction's dead on arrival. It's like get a grip.
Yeah, you've literally quite it. All of the Upsilons went up with the exception of Dormitz.
Who got the emergency up?
who'd already gotten an emergency update to that. But yeah, everything else went down. Silencers except for Kylo, and then the test pilot stayed the same. But everything else went down. Backdraft went down. I really would have liked to have seen Quickdraw go down if we're going to do that across the board. But maybe there, again, I think this is clearly indicative to me of, hey, First Order isn't doing well. We're going to drop all the points except on that thing. We know how broken that thing is. And again, Scum got the same thing. Pretty much everything's coming down.
It's looking at what was good in First Order, what people were using when they were using it. So that's all okay. How do we make the other stuff as attractive as that? And I think they've done a really good job here. Blackout actually goes up by a point overall, because I think it came down by one, but then Trick Shot goes up by two.
Correct.
So I think net-wise, Blackout goes up because you're putting Trick Shot on Blackout.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big one for me is the FOs are actually getting really, really competitive now. There's some pretty sweet pricing in there. Scorch at 34 points. It's got blue hard twos, so it's effectively a three dice attack all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Long shot at 32.
Yeah.
That one jumped out at me.
Backdraft is a big one. I know you mentioned him already. Mm-hmm. But Backdraft is one of those ships that you can just run with no upgrades. 39 points, shoot while you're running away from things and get the extra die that way. And yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I think First Order are really... They're a bit of a sleeper at the moment. Like a 2-point drop and for Backdraft. I don't even think, like, the problem I see with especially SFs are people want to staple the gunner to them. I really don't think they need them. I think they're pretty solid ships. I think Quickdraw
needs it. I think if you're not running Quickdraw, you don't need it. I would agree with that statement.
45 points compared to 55 points. You get the extra die out of a front arc.
Mm-hmm.
But you negate some of Quickdraw's ability if you've got the arc pointing backwards for a double tap anyway. And you can't joust people with Quickdraw the way you used to, because I think you've seen it, we've played it a few times now, that the damage output isn't there. You don't have the expertise and the fire control isn't quite as effective.
What it used to be, yeah.
So, I feel like Quick Draw is good at 45 points without it.
So then effectively you might still be able to squeeze off a Kylo Quick Draw Midnight kind of list with some room.
You 100% can, yeah. The interesting ones that I've been looking at have been stuff like Taverson, Quick Draw, Backdraft, and Scorch. All got... So obviously Taverson went up, but everything else went down, so you can build some funky stuff there. I don't think you're wrong. I still think that I would run Blackout over Kylo, but maybe I'm wrong. If I was doing the Blackout Quick Draw Midnight list, I think I would do Blackout over Kylo.
Yeah, and I liked that variant, to be honest with you. Because I started off with the Kylo, with the Supernatural Kylo, but then, of course, Supernatural became way too points inefficient to run on him, which, in my opinion, I think that's where Kylo dropped off, is whenever Supernatural went kind of down the pipes. So Blackout coming down, I mean, again, like you said, you're bumping up by a point with the way they did Trick Shot, but still, everything else in the list kind of came down. I think you still have some more. I think it's going to be an interesting list. I think I might have to revisit that after points change. And we inadvertently covered all of it. Like, I mean, obviously our quick hit points kind of on that, on those.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll go through our over under because, here we are. We went with Resistance Transport. It was a new ship, so we didn't have an original cost. It cost 32 points. Somebody got it spot on. That was you, Ed. You got it spot on. I was 1 point off. I said 31, so I was 1 point too low. Chad and Sean shot for the moon here and were like four in the 40s.
Ooh.
So they were fairly far off. Leia Crew was our next one. It was 2. It changed to 6.
And I went 7.
I said 6. So I was spot on this time. You were a point off.
Yep, I was a point off on that one. When I saw that, I kept thinking about what you had said, the analogy that you had drawn in that show where we had done that, where you're like, they just, you know, the comparing it to the flight navigation and how it's supposed to balance out. You are right. That is probably the right one.
Yeah. Then Chad and Sean both got the right direction. Obviously, it went up. I think Chad threw 1 point in there. Sean said 2 points up. Then we had Duke at 5 points. You said 7, I said 7, Sean said 7, Chad said Duke was fine at 5 and left it there. So 3 of us got it spot on. Chad was wrong there. So Chad's not doing well at the moment. Chad is the most wrong on the first 3. Then we had another new ship, the N1. We went for whatever cheapest N1 was going to be. And I believe it was 34. I'm just going to double check this now because I'm like fearing that I'm cheating you. Getting live updates.
Yep, I'm pulling it up as myself to see if I can find it.
No, it is 34. I did not cheat you. I
34 points.
So I said that the cheapest one would be 33 points.
Ooh.
You said the cheapest one would be 32 points.
Yep, I went the other direction, so you're closer, you're less wrong than I am.
So I did a yellow color on my little spreadsheet of almost, if you're within a point, you got yellow, it's almost there.
Can I put an asterisk next to that? What if after the next points change, it comes down to 32 and I come back and retroactively
if,
get that
if
right?
You want to pick it as your card for the next points change.
Maybe, we'll see. We'll see.
Then I feel like Sean and Chad like just threw darts at this one. This is the start of the end. But Chad said 24 points.
Wow.
TIE fighter level. So 10 points off for Chad.
Yeah, no way.
Sean said 22. Cheaper than an academy pilot.
Wow.
So I'm going to give Sean the benefit of the doubt and say that I think he might have been thinking in 1.0 money. Because.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, putting that would put it at 44, which I think is a better guess than 22. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, that puts it at the Handmaiden score at least.
Yeah. Sean was the most wrong on that one. At 12 points off. So.
Oof.
Then we had the TIE Defender, the Delta Squadron. Cost 70.
FFG, come on, please. I just want to run 3 of them. Why? I mean, I'm not going to complain. They did come down.
Yeah, it came down a point. It went from 70 to 69.
Yeah.
So Chad actually said 68 on this one. So he was the closest out of all of us. You, being the buffoon that you are, said 66.
Yep.
I said 67, and Sean said 65. So he was giving you points to play with.
Yeah, he was.
On that. Then we had Oddball.
That is Republic.
Yeah, so he was 42 points.
Which chassis was this on again?
This was on the Torrent, the cheapest Oddball. Okay. Was 42 points. He came down to 35.
Holy cow. Dropped.
You said 35.
Did I?
Holy you did.
Cow, I guess
you're a genius. You were spot on. I said 34, so I was only a point off on that one.
That's because you really wanted to be lower.
I did. I wanted all of them to get cheaper so I could just swarm torrents at people.
Well, for the most part, they all did except for the generic.
So, sorry, guys. You're not here to defend yourselves, but both Sean and Chad said it was going to get more expensive.
What? No. They weren't here for the argument how bad that his ability is.
So there's a chance that they thought that it was talking about the ARC version, not the Torrent version. But we'll see.
Maybe.
If you compare it, what did they say? For the Arc 170 Oddball came down to 52.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were both closer to the Arc costing than they were to a Torrent costing.
Maybe we'll
post. So I'll give them a benefit of the doubt that they were shooting at the Arc, not the Torrent. But that's not the question was, so we still get it wrong.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to professors, like, I meant to tick A, but I my tick went into a B, but oh well.
Yeah.
Then we had the cheapest hyena. Ooh. It is 26 points. And you said 26 points. So for those keeping track, Ed has currently got 4 of them spot on.
Spot on. And I never play this game.
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
I said 25, so I was 1 point off again. Then Chad and Sean were in the 30s on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you sent the spreadsheet here, but I didn't. I wanted to ignore it because I wanted to get like my natural reaction to some of these. Yeah.
Then we had Crackshot.
Yeah.
This was one of the ones where we put it in there because you thought it was going to go up.
Because of how universally it's used.
I said it was going to stay the same, and it stayed the same. So I was spot on.
You were right.
So that's 3 spot ons for me.
Mm-hmm.
4 for Ed.
Well, and I lost. I said that was going up to what, 3, didn't I?
You 2. You were only off by 1.
Okay.
Chad said it was going up to 2 as well. Sean really hates Crackshot, apparently. He said it was going up to 4.
Ooh, wow.
But I was good. I was happy with my it stays the same.
Yep.
And then the trap that I told you was a trap, the Benari Pirate.
Oh, I wanted this to be right so much. I really did.
So I said it was staying the same.
And
Chad said it was staying the same. You said it was getting cheaper because I tricked you and told you I was tricking you at the time.
Told me in person while I was doing it.
Yeah. So that gives us a final total. It's close.
Well, hold on. What was my guess? Mine was 22, right?
Didn't you were 23. You said it dropped by 1.
And then you said it stayed the same. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a total differentials is how we work this out. So Sean was the worst guesserer on this version. Stealing Chad's thunder from last time. Chad was off. The last time the differentials were you won with a differential of 15.5.
Because of the weird way we had to do that last one. Yeah.
Sean was second with 18.5. I was third with 20.5. And Chad was fourth with 21.5. This time, there's a massive spread between. We were all pretty close on that one. Tightly grouped.
Yeah, but I would agree.
For this one, Sean's at 52. He was 52 points off. Chad was at 46. So I had 4 spot on. You had 4 spot on. I had 4 where I was almost there. So it's within 1. You had 3 that you were almost there on.
And there's the difference right there.
Yeah.
There's the difference right there.
You were in second with an 8-point differential, which is better than your last showing. You did 15 and a half when you won last time. You brought that in. I crushed it with a mighty 6-point differential.
Oh, congratulations. Oh. Now that's
Craig goes wild.
Oh, so you're not the only winner on this one, because if you recall, we're going to be giving some of the money from the Patreon community to a charity of your choosing. Have you picked a charity for that to go to?
I have not yet. I thought that I would probably do. So for people who don't know, I know we had him on the show when I did an interview. James is retiring Target Lock Hunger, and I was going to be taking it over. So I think that I'll probably do the local food bank for the charity, and we'll put it towards doing that, because in the winter time anyway, I'm going to be running another Target Lock Hunger event from Calgary this time, and we'll we'll try and do that for our support and good causes. So
sounds good.
It will be going to the local food bank.
What type of event are you planning on doing?
So it will just be a tournament of some form. And I know James, when he was doing it, he did an auction for all the swag that he collected and things to try and raise extra money. I'm not 100% how I'll go about it yet, but
well, I will say on air and on recording, I have a whole bunch of unused vessels sitting here for X-Wing that are currently collecting dust. What I will do, if you give me a date whenever you plan to, I will mail these to you and you can auction those off, and whatever you get can go to the charity.
Oh, so that's really nice.
I'll send, like I said, I mean, they're not, I mean, you're just getting ships and bases. You're not going to get dials or anything like that. I mean, because I have all that stuff. But at least getting the ships themselves, if someone wants to pay $3, $4 to donate to the food bank to grab themselves a TIE fighter, absolutely happy to do it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But yeah, so that's what I plan on doing at the moment. If anything changes, I will keep people updated. But I need to speak to James to make sure he's still happy to, because it's his baby ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was going to try and work for somebody local in BC to take it over so it can keep going to the same food bank that it currently does. But I don't mind either way, as long as the money goes to a good cause. So
we'll see. No, I completely agree.
Yep. So that was our points predictions. And I really enjoyed that one, actually.
I can imagine you did.
No, as in, I think the format of that one felt a lot tighter than the first time we did it.
Well, it was less headaches, too, trying to figure out the scoring, because we kind of had not anticipated certain things, like, oh, well, this chassis went up, except that pilot went down, and vice versa. She had weird things like that. We didn't have to worry about any of that. I liked it better this time.
Yeah, there's no like 0.5s and stuff like that this time.
Right, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Do we have anything else you want to cover?
Not really.
You did put questions out to the Facebook group, but of course it is 4th of July weekend and we have no questions, no emails, no nothing.
I was gonna quickly look back for if we missed any of the older questions. I know it was some that we said might take a bit of time to answer, so I thought we could hit one of those maybe.
Yeah, no, sure, go ahead. I mean, we have time to kill.
Yeah. So you have to
content to create. How's that sound?
Yeah. Where are we? Scroll down. Curse you all.
Damn you, internet.
Oh, in fact, yeah, I forgot to say, on the 1st of July, on Canada Day, I was a guest on Sea to Sky Squadron. Oh, they did a Canada Day special. So, they apparently, I don't know how this was decided, but they are the number one Canadian X-Wing podcast.
Well, wait a minute now. We've got a Canadian producer here. Hang on.
If we count the fact that this is produced in Calgary as a Canadian podcast, we like kind of win, unless you compare us to some of Bruno's Warmaster quizzes. But yeah, it's fine, you know. I don't mind it. If people want to steal my thunder, it's fine.
I think we're intercontinent, or we're intercountry here, and I challenge that.
Well, you know, if we get people keep tuning in and listening, like, listener base is growing every time, actually, so I'm pretty excited. I think I was saying off air, it's like, I feel like we're now one of the bigger fish in the small pond. We're still not back to being in the big pond yet, but... I'm gonna take
this one step further. I think that we should challenge this other Canadian podcast. I think one of their hosts we've already loaned them one of our better good hosts to their show. I think they should return the favor. One of them should join us, and then we should issue some type of vassal challenge to decide this battlefield Canada. And I will gleefully watch you crush another Canadian podcast, because it probably won't be me.
All the pressure on me. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So when they put forward all of the people who've got like world's invites and stuff, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. All right, that's the question I was looking for. If you remember, there was one that we said was specifically going to save until after points update. And that was from Matthew Bundy. And this was back in May. He asked this question. So hopefully you're still a listener, Matthew. We haven't like bored you by ignoring your question.
It's just we had to wait for the points change.
Yeah. How about the state of X-Wing Second Edition? Now that we are just about 8 months, or a little bit longer now, how does Second Edition compare to First Edition? Did it meet your expectations? Did FFG get everything right? What still needs to be worked on? Was breaking up Resistance from First Order a good thing? How about the addition of the Clone Wars era? Hell, you could do an entire show on just this topic. Yeah, well, we're going to give you a good chunk of a show. So
we'll give you a good segment on that topic. How's that?
Would you want to come in? Because obviously there's lots of questions within that.
Okay, so I think the first one I think I'd want to hit on to the is the primary question of, is FFG doing everything right? Short answer to that question is probably not everything. There are probably some things that they're not quite getting accurate. However, that being caveated, I think that they are going in the right direction. You've got to figure, at the point in time that we're recording this, they have done not one but two points adjustments. If this had been first edition, those ships would have remained the same points and nothing would have changed. They would have issued, like we'd have been talking about, okay, 3-8 months from now, an upgrade's going to come out that might help fix that ship, but it's going to take that long to write the meta. In the meantime, you just kind of got to ride it out. Whereas now that's not the case. Points can be changed every couple of months. We've had hot fixes to points like, oh, wow, we totally messed that one up. They have fixed that. Upgrades that have been, maybe that's a little bit too much. They've brought the points down. I think just the ability alone to adjust points costs, add upgrade slots to ships, remove upgrade slots to ship, I think it has made it a much more flexible environment for us, a good competitive environment. I think on that note, I think FFG is doing everything right. Are they getting all the points costs correctly? Maybe not. Maybe there can be like this one case you can point to that one ship. Oh, look at this. And this one's kind of screwed up. And you might be right on that one instance. But overall, as a game for second edition, I applaud FFG for what they're doing. I think they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. So, well, I'll take it point by point for that part of the question, where I think I would say second edition compares favorably to first edition. I've been telling everyone who asks about it, like, oh, I've not converted. Is anyone still playing first edition? I'm like, in honesty, I think it's a better game. It's a much better game. It's back to what first edition used to feel like before Wave 4. You get to be rewarded for your good flying, which is why I lose more now, maybe, probably.
Maybe that's why I lose more too, because there isn't anything that's overtly broken.
Yeah.
And if it is, they fixed it with the last points change, and now it's not overtly broken anymore, which is why I fly horribly now.
I would say, did second edition meet my expectations? So I'm going to take the phrasing that Ed used there. I think that I would go a step further than Ed. I think FFG are actually exceeding my expectations. Whether they're doing everything right, I agree they're not. I'll give some specific examples in a moment. But I think they're doing more right than I expected them to. The points changes are working. It's interesting. I did a video earlier on this week where I looked at the points changes with the six, you know, I have the six wits in my plane, okay, ready to go.
Yep, ready to go, those, open out the door.
Yeah, I looked at those specifically in with the points change, like how many of them are still legal, how many went down, what ones can't I play, and how do I need to tweak them if I want to keep those six wits in my case. And like, three of them went up but were still legal, one or two of them maybe were illegal, and one of them came down, so the Septus one came down by a lot. And it kind of lines up with the power levels of the list and where I thought they stood. Like, the Separatist list was definitely my fun, this is my, if you want to intro game, I will run these droids at you because they are pretty weak.
And they're fun as hell to fly.
Yeah. And all of that kind of lined up. Where I would say they are doing the stuff wrong, I'm gonna hit, like, obviously, hyperspace hasn't changed at the moment, so we don't know this for sure, but I was not a fan of throwing everything into hyperspace. It felt like it diluted what they originally stated the meaning of hyperspace was, that it was supposed to be a new player accessible format. And I don't mind if Extended is supposed to be the main format and hyperspace remains for new players, but adding in the, what was it,
the Interceptor.
The Bomber, the Interceptor, the Star Viper, stuff like that, I wasn't a fan of, because there was no way for a new player to buy them unless you can find them used or restore, but we're still stocking first edition, which is suicidal for any store to do. So I felt like that was a mistake, but that comes from different parts of FFG. I think as a game, if you just take X-Wing as extended, I still think that is a better game than first edition was. It's only the OP side of hyperspace that I was disappointed with. Okay.
Can I camp on that real quick?
Yeah.
And again, I recognize this is still my old line of thinking. I really, really, really wanted hyperspace to be X-Wing and extended to be the nod to the old players. Yes, you have old ships. We're going to be bringing them into the fold at some point in time. They're not quite there yet. You can still play these events. We'll still support them with tournament play. But the minute that they announced that Worlds was going to be extended, that flew out the window for me. Yeah. So it even, like, I even supported the idea of bringing those ships like the Interceptor and the Bomber into the game to kind of help out another faction that may or may not have had those options to it. But I thought that's the reason why they did that. That's what I thought they were leading into when they made those changes, was Worlds is going to be hyperspace and not extended. When they didn't go follow through with that, to me, it almost feels like there was a design shift on that. Like, that was the original thought, and then we're going to go this way instead. So if I have one little thing to pick on, that is going to be mine as well. Yeah,
but there's been turnover of staff in the OP side of it, which I'm not going to blame OP, because I think blame's the wrong word, because there's nothing to say that it's right or wrong. It's just my personal opinion on it. I liked what hyperspace was and what it was stated to be, and diluting that was just a little bit, not upsetting, but disappointing. What still needs to be worked on before we get up into a specific parts of a question? So that would be another question of what needs to be worked on still.
I don't know. I think...
Do you want me to shoot?
Yeah, go ahead and shoot. I need to put some thought into it. Yeah.
So I would, again, feel like I'm piling onto OP now, but the formats, not as in hyperspace extended, but the way they've done the kits, where we had the deluxe wave kits, then the seasonal kits, then the hyperspace kits and the hyperspace prime, they need to just nail down what that's going to be. And I know that it probably is nailed down now, but equally thought it was nailed down the last time they made up a lot of new names and everything. But like the fact that my store is the only store in Calgary that applied for hyperspace, which means there's only going to be one in Calgary in the year. So if you want to play in a second one, you've got to travel for like a minimum of 3 hours in the car. Right, it's the population density of Canada isn't there, but each store can only run one. Right. I feel like a little bit more communication with the locals might have been in order, like a way for us to reach out and say, can we just bend the rules here? Can we get a second kit for a second run of them? Because I feel like our situation isn't what each store only being able to run one kit a year was designed for. So I would like to see some work on that. But again, that's my personal feelings on it. I don't know that it's necessarily a big complaint, but I would like to see more done in that regard. I think they're definitely reaching out and doing a lot more work. Like, they did an OP stream where they spoke about the world's announcement, how tickets were going to be. Like, the last I checked, there are still tickets available for X-Wing Worlds and have been on sale for 2 weeks now.
So for those of you who are complaining, you can still go.
Yeah, so
that's the play-in event, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's huge, though. The fact that you can still buy a ticket for Worlds after like the first 20 minutes of them being on sale,
right?
I think the pros, the pro column massively exceeds the con column. So I don't want to feel, I don't want to seem like I'm piling onto OP. I think they're doing a tremendously awesome job. But in specific regions, there's things that they still need to work on. I know stuff is happening, like Mexico and Southern America, different things like that are getting it. It's creeping towards where the player base wants it to be. So we'll see.
That's only taken a few years. If I want to, okay, so you did trigger an interesting thought for that one. Because of the way that they announced the competitive being hyperspace and extended, they had no other choice but to run two separate tracks competitively. One of the things that I do miss from first edition that I wish that they would bring over at some point in time when we get closer to that level of ships that are hyperspace legal versus extended, and that extended list gets smaller and smaller, is to return to a continuity to the playline. So the way that it used to work, if you're only coming in at second edition and never got to play in the first edition, the way that their tournament structure worked out was awesome because it played like a season, like you would think of your favorite sports, whatever sport you're in. So you'd have a preseason or you'd have the early games, which would be your store championship level. Every store could run one of those. You can run multiple, you can hit multiples. Like for me, I was hitting like 8-10 store champions during the course of that. And then you would go into the regional level. Then you would go into the nationals level. And then you would get to the worlds level. Now, I still think that once you hit to that regionals level, if they're giving away two tickets to worlds for winning a regionals, they could still perform that and still do that and keep a continuous timeline, so to speak, of how those competitive seasons work. Because literally right after Worlds ended, 6 weeks later, the next door championships were coming out. So it was really cool for me because like to be able to go into the game store every week and be like, okay, I'm practicing for store champions, practicing for store. Oh, wait, now regionals is coming up. I just played in 8 of these. Now I'm going to practice for my regionals. That was really cool. It gave you a look and feel of how things work. To me, I feel like now the way that it works with two separate tracks, I'm confused as to what level that is versus what level that is and where I'm going or what I'm getting into kind of thing. So my hope is that at some point in time when that hyperspace legal versus extended shrinks down, that we're going to return to a more continuative timeline for competitive play.
Yeah.
That is something I feel that they could work on.
Yeah. No, it's good. Okay. Was breaking up Resistance and First Order a good thing or meh?
Breaking them up, I mean, as in pulling them away from the Galactic Empire and
the Rebels,
it was a good thing. Yeah. Ultimately, in the end, I think it was weird to me to have ships come in at first edition with different set symbols and have them play together. It was always bizarre to me that Kylo Ren and Darth Vader could be flying on the same table at the same time. And this is just the Star Wars geeky nerd in me going, that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. It just doesn't. So I think we've talked about this before. There are other miniatures games that have multiple factions and each of them have their own pluses and minuses. So the question, one of my big questions going into second edition was, are they going to be able to make these factions feel different? Or is this just Empire with a new skin or Rebels with a new skin? And I think they've done a pretty good job differentiating between how each of the factions feel different.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think First Order is still a little bit of a weird one, because the aesthetic is very much Empire, but black and white. So I think like the defining ships for those aren't the ships that they probably want to be the defining ships. I think the Upsilon was the defining ship for the First Order, and they keep going up in points.
Because they broke it when it really came out. Because it was too good.
Yeah. And I think probably the Upsilon is probably the reason why we don't have the Lambda yet, I would guess, maybe. I mean, that's just conjecture, so probably ignore that. Resistance definitely feels like, where with Rebels, I feel like they work best with one or two names and lots of generics. I think the Resistance work best with one or two generics and lots of names. So yeah, I feel like Resistance and the Rebels are different enough. The meat of the First Order, being the Silencers and the SFs, I think are really, really interesting. It kind of rolls on into a lot of stuff that we spoke about very early in this podcast. Not this episode, but like back when we were starting about where we covered the breakup of the factions and how it's easier to balance multiple factions with less ships. I think the catching up in ship numbers, they'll never get there entirely unless they do releases in the way we did Scum, where like Scum were getting two or three ships every time. The other faction's got one.
Well, in some instances, just I hate to interrupt, but just for, it's a question of canon ships to be able to add. Before Disney took over LFL, they had the ability to go back into the Star Wars Legends and pull ships out of that and bring that into the game. Now, that's something that they're not currently. It's interesting to me that they've grandfathered some of those ships still in existence. I've always thought that was weird. That I thought some ships, like the Hawk, for example, I was convinced wasn't going to be hyperspace legal ever, and it is. But like, for example, the First Order, we've only seen a handful of ships on film. There may be another ship that was mentioned in a book somewhere that hasn't come out yet, but we haven't physically seen it. And we know that the silencer is now smaller, the new one. I'm keeping my big fat silencer. Thank you very much.
I'm getting rid of my big fat one. So I'm going straight down to the beta sleek lean silencers. I like the new ones. I think once the trilogy is done and we explore more of the Star Wars universe, I think we'll see more ships for them. And obviously, we'll roll it into the next question with the addition of like, the Clone Wars era. I think like those factions getting extra stuff and getting beefed out, it won't take... I think they will feel like full factions by the time Wave 5 hits for the Clone Wars. Resistance, I think, are in a decent place if they ever get large bases correct. First Order... It's definitely...
That's the weird one.
I think First Order are stuck in the aces are really, really good. So I think that they probably work in a similar way to Resistance in that there's less generic play, but when Imperials have really good aces as well. But it feels a bit harsh to judge them as Imperials with shields, but... That's probably the hardest one to get the design space right. I feel like the fanatical side of it, like they're taking something away to get better at something else. Like once your shields are down, you get this. Scorch, when you suffer a stress, you do this. It's an interesting thing, but I don't know how much it comes across on the table that the like extremists and all of that. I don't know. But the Clone Wars era, like people might be surprised to hear me say it, but I'm actually really, really happy with them. I don't even like the N1 coming in, little Anakin being in is actually fine.
Hyperbole aside.
It lets you do more. Like, you want to be able to, like, Star Wars, it's a game. You want to be able to play the movies you remember. And having little Anakin and some Naboos fighting against Trade Federation drones is in the movies, so it should be a thing in the game.
Yeah, and even though it's not the Star Wars that I grew up with, it's the Star Wars my kids grew up with. It's the ones that my children remember seeing in the movie theater as opposed to the old ones. So the Naboo Starfighter is more important to a different age group than me, and I can accept that. I was always opposed to the fact that they didn't want to put the Clone Wars era. I always thought that that was a weird decision to make. Like, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? You're bringing stuff from Legends that's from older area, which is outside of the realm of the films. Why would you take a whole era and a whole awesome cartoon series full of cool ships and say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that? That just never made sense to me.
I kind of get it when it was LFL, not Disney and stuff like that, that they wanted to keep it within a tight time frame, that it was, this game is set in the Galactic Civil War era. But then as soon as they added in Resistance and First Order, I feel like it was inevitable that we got Clone Wars.
So. See, I would go back even further. I think when they added Scum, it was inevitable. I think once you started adding, when they added another, keeping in mind, again, if you guys haven't been around playing the game as long as we have, the game started off with two. It was Imperial versus Rebels. That was it. That was X-Wing. When they added Scum to the game in a whole new faction, holy cow, did that upset the tables when everything's coming. Because that was something, wait, there are other ships. They're a whole different play style that's completely different than these other three. It was Scum, amazing.
Scum might as well have been called the Legends faction.
Yeah.
Because hardly any of those ships were from the movies.
And I think, Slave One. I'm trying to think of any other ship that was in a movie upon release, because you've never seen the Benarian. You've never seen a non-Rebel Y-Wing. The Hawk we had seen, but again, that wasn't in the movies. IG-88 ship.
You never see any of the ships for the bounty hunters. They're probably all in comics now.
In comics and video games, I'd seen them. I knew what Dengar's ship looked like before I saw it on the table. But again, that was never in film.
Okay, I think that's all of that question nailed down. That's a great question. I do have one other thing. So remember Jimmy sent us the chance cube. That's the one. He sent me a message a while ago, which I'd forgotten about. So sorry, I'm a horrible person and haven't covered this.
You mean
now.
These chance cubes right here?
That's the one. Yeah. So they're doing an X-Wing fundraiser on August 17th in, I'm going to butcher this place name. Sorry, Jimmy. Dyersburg in Tennessee.
That sounds about right.
Yep. So if you check that out, August 17th, if you can get to Dyersburg in Tennessee, go down and throw them some money. I have no link to put in, but I'll hopefully Jimmy will listen to this and post some stuff for us. I did say I'll try and get him some swag, but I'm waiting. So we did get people reach out to us to maybe do show sponsoring after we spoke about it last time. So maybe get us some more acrylics. If I can get them made in time, I will get something out to you, Jimmy. But
a lack of focus, movement templates, and I am a happy camper. I still fly with my Nova Squadron radio once, proudly.
Yeah, you should. Okay. And that's everything I have outside of normal exiting the show thing.
Excellent. Well, we have some housekeeping. Where can they find us? How can they email us? How do they support us?
Yep. So we have our email would be lack of focus. I was going to say it's all on the header, but I'm using a different background for this. We have to actually look it all up. So we are
lack of focus. Some people that just listen to us audio only.
Yeah. No, but I normally read it off the screen.
Okay. That's your cheat sheet right there.
Yeah. So you can go to www.dice8.com. That is our new upgraded website. We're still a little bit light on content because Ed hasn't written a lot of Magic the Gathering articles for us yet.
It's been a busy 2 weeks, you're right.
But that is, we've got some decent plans for that. It's got some X-Wing content on there. There'll be links to everything on that web page as well. You can find us at Lack of Focus Podcast on Facebook. That's where we put out all of our listener questions, and there's a link to the group in there if you want to chat with us as well. We have a Dice8 Discord, which I think there is a link on the Lack of Focus Facebook page to that. You can
email
us.
Put that
on
the website. I'm on the website right now. It looks good, man.
There's a link to Discord on the website.
I will make sure to hop on that right now. Yeah, there it is right there. How do you like that?
Yeah, then you can go to... You can email us at lackoffocuspodcast@gmail.com. That's where we get all our emails. You can reach out to us via Facebook Messenger. And if you would like to support the show, we really appreciate everyone who does. You can find us on Lack of Focus on Patreon. We don't have like multi-tiered rewards. Just if you throw us any amount, $1 an episode is awesome. I mean, we're at the point now where the fans of the show actually pay for the hosting of the show on Podbean. I still pay for the Dice8 one myself, which is fine because that's just for people who listen on SoundCloud, and Podbean has been the bigger platform for us. And
really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I never know the best way of doing it to try and make sure we're hitting all of the different listener bases.
Maybe it's just me and my damn Apple devices. I always went through iTunes. iTunes was always my way to do that.
We are on iTunes because it links through into iTunes and Google Play. I set up Google Play again to make sure it was working. We're on Spotify. Well, you can listen to us lots of different ways. If there's a way we want to listen to us that you can't, please reach out to me, because I'm actively trying to find the best way to get the show out to people. And yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I missed something. But giveaways. I'm a terrible person. Still haven't mailed out all the stuff. But I need to start the pile for the next one. So let's have a look.
While you're looking there, I'm going to fill some space. Did you happen to mention the YouTube channel at all?
I did not.
If you want to see our happy, shiny faces and you're listening to this in audio format only, you can go to Chris's Dice Hate YouTube channel and you can watch us talk about all this fun stuff.
Yeah, you can. So I have. I'm trying to find something.
Chris is growing his beard back. How can you not want to see that?
What about some of the older Fade tokens? We can throw those.
Ooh, those aren't the old ones. Those are the next.
Yeah, the limey green.
The limey green ones. I've got my dark green ones. I love those.
Yeah. So what we do for that, at the end of every month, we do a giveaway where we roll some dice against our patron numbers and someone
quite literally
in the Patreon
roll dice. I have them right here in front of me. Yeah.
Shows you how small our Patreon is that we're not at a point now where we still can't roll with a die yet. We've not had to try and find a D100.
I have one right over there. I don't have to go look. It's right there. I can see it from where I'm sitting.
Then if you want to see us talk and blabber on even more, you can catch Ed on his YouTube channel talking Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that's true. I guess I could drop that in. If you are interested at all, I am playing quite a bit of Magic the Gathering Arena. We're currently going through Core Set 2020 decks, and that is Old Guy Gaming, MTGA. If you go ahead, and I think I've earned enough now that you can just go to YouTube/Old Guy Gaming MTG. I think that is currently the website. If not, just look up Old Guy Gaming. My icon is the OGG, and if you're a Magic player and you want to see me play Magic badly online, by all means, try it out. It's fantastic. I'm up to almost 500 here. Subscribers, and well, almost by 417, but I've got a goal by the end of the year of the channel being long to hit 1,000. If I can hit 1,000 by then, I'll be extraordinarily happy, and I'm well on my way. So if you're interested, check it out.
Then if you want to hear me talk about D&D with some other interesting people,
this is a good one. I've been listening to this. This is good.
I think it's actually a really good show. If I'm I enjoy doing this show a lot. But for quality of content, I think the D&D show is better, and we're only two episodes in. That obviously, role-playing lends itself more to a verbal form of communication. I think X-Wing is hard to try and convey a lot of those thoughts, but I think this D&D podcast is really good, and hardly anyone's listening to it, because it doesn't have its own feed yet. It's all on the Dice Hate feed. So if you're subscribed to a Dice Hate podcast, and that's how you get your lack of focus, you already know about That's Initiative. If you subscribe to a Podbean one, which is the lack of focus specific, this is where it gets confusing that only I understand. You don't know about that. So go and subscribe to the Dice Hate one. You'll get lack of focus twice, which is twice the value. And you also get to listen to the new That's Initiative role-playing game podcast, which has a relative focus onto D&D 5th edition, because that's like what we're playing at the moment and is obviously hugely popular. But we do touch on lots of other formats. We've covered episode 1 was What Makes a Good Session. So quite generic, talking from general points and coming at it from a DM perspective and a player side. Then we've been doing votes on the Dice Hate Facebook page for what other topics were going to be. And the people wanted party composition. So we did that from a general perspective again, and then DM side and player side for how you build a good party. So there you go. Yeah, I think it's really good. If I do say so myself.
And if you, excuse me, if you don't go through any of the audio ones, you can actually see Chris's happy, shiny face doing That's Initiative on YouTube. That's how I listen to it at work. I can't recommend it enough. It is really good.
I didn't know you'd listen that, Joey. I'm pretty.
I did. No, I have my little bell for notifications, so whenever it came out, I'm like, "Ooh, what's this? Listen."
Yeah.
I think I missed episode 0. Now that I'm looking at your web. Stalking you on the internet right now. I'm looking at your face on the internet. I missed episode 0, which now I'm gonna have to go back and listen to. So I think
the episode 0 one I didn't put out in audio format because I messed up the levels. They're really weird for me to edit them but audio only. On YouTube, it's not that bad because you can see us talking, which kind of helps with the audio levels. But it wasn't at the quality I wanted to, so I re-edited that to be zero, not number one, and then we ran from there. Gotcha. Episode zero, we did a little bit more talking about what we'd done and like, introducing ourselves, stuff like that. But like Greg, who I do the show with, I work with him in the Sentry Box. We play like online games together. We play World of Warships and stuff like that. He works at Sentry Box as well, but he's been playing D&D since first edition. So he's a huge resource.
Got mine right there. First edition books, all right there. Yeah. It's a good show. If you're not if you are a D&D fan, you're not listening to it, you should really check it out. It is really, it's a lot of fun.
I think that's it. That's as much pimping of stuff as I can do.
I think so. I think you've whored yourself out enough. All right. So, Chris, always good talking to you, my friend.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Ed. And thanks for getting this one done before Monday so I get sleep.
Anything I can do to help out, I appreciate it. And again, sorry that, again, no, Fourth of July much. Weekend sucked. Sorry. No,
it didn't suck. You had an awesome time.
I did. I had a great time. Had some beverages.
Fitting this in harder.
Yeah, had a few beverages, didn't have to shave, watched some fireworks a couple of times, spent some family time, always good. So that's going to do it for this episode. I think next episode, hopefully we might have some of those Canadian co-hosts on, and we can talk about this best podcast in Canada business that has been brought to my attention. But until then, guys, as always, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.